mid-40s, and the west wind up to 15 miles per hour.
.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I'm Mark Bailey, Cameron Eisenberg producing. Thank you for joining us this morning. Here's what we're scheduled to do. First half of the show, Fred Williams is scheduled to join us from Mid-Columbia's Center for Living. He's their adult behavioral health manager. We'll talk about adult mental health. We'll talk about substance use treatment. We'll talk about gambling prevention. I may really talk about gambling prevention with him quite a bit because, as we all know, there's been an ways you can gamble in this country over the last several years. And it's probably becoming more and more of an issue. And we need to talk about some of the dangers of it all. Second half of the show is going to have with us in studio Port of the Dalles Executive Director Andrea Claus. Talk Port of the Dalles, obviously. So that is what is coming up this morning, at least what we're planning to do this morning. We'll see if it all comes to fruition. You never know these days. But first, as we always do, let's take a look at what this day has been about, what this day means, at least to some people. 1796, the future emperor of the French, Napoleon Bonaparte, married Josephine de Beauharnais. I'm not sure I got her name right, and I'm not sure anybody met. He married Josephine. That's the part probably people get with Napoleon. 1841, the U.S. Supreme Court in U.S. versus the Amistad ruled 7-1 in favor of a group of illegally enslaved Africans who were captured off the U.S. coast. After seizing control of a Spanish schooner, La Amistad, the justice ruled that the Africans should be set free. 1862, during the Civil War, the ironclad warships USS Monitor and CSS Virginia, formerly the USS Merrimack, clashed for 5 hours to a draw at Hampton Roads, Virginia. In 1916, more than 400 Mexican raiders led by Pancho Villa attacked Columbus, New Mexico, killing 18 Americans. 1945, on this day, during World War II, over 300 U.S. B-29 bombers began Operation Meeting House, a massive firebombing raid on Tokyo. The raid killed an estimated 100,000 civilians, left 1 million homeless, and destroyed 16 square miles of the city. 1959, the Barbie doll was introduced at the American International Toy Fair in New York. It is Barbie Day today because of that. In 1964, the U.S. Supreme Court in New York Times versus Sullivan raised the standard for public officials to prove they'd been libeled in their official capacity by news organizations. 1997, the rapper The Notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace, was killed in a still-unsolved drive-by shooting in Los Angeles at the age of 24. And in 2022, a Russian airstrike devastated a maternity hospital in the besieged Ukrainian port city of Mariupol, killing 4 people and wounding at least 17. The days for today, I mentioned it's Barbie Day. It's also False Teeth Day for some reason. It is Fill Our Staplers Day today. So if you got an empty stapler, put the staples in. It is National Workplace Napping Day. I'm not sure I'm going to recommend you do that, by the way. That might not work out for you. And in some jobs, it could put us all in peril. It's Panic Day today. Suppose this is a day to go ahead and panic. Not sure that helps anything, but if you'd like to, I guess go ahead. However, maybe I'll remember also this. This is the other day for today. It is Get Over It Day today. Which is actually supposed to be get over something that happened to you in your life. A breakup, something along those lines. Your food today. It's National Crab Meat Day today. And it's National Meatball Day today. That's always a good one. So have yourself a meatball sandwich or something. Or spaghetti with meatballs or something like that. So anyway, that's what it is for what it's worth on this day. It is 8:09 in the morning. We come back. Fred Williams joins us from Mid-Columbia Center for Living right after this.
Spring sports are just around the corner. Stand out from the crowd and show off your team pride with equipment and apparel boldly branded with your team logo. Hi, this is Dawn with Summit Embroidery Works. We have the best products to get your team geared up and ready for the season, from hats and jerseys that fit your budget to the fun souvenirs that show off your amazing team logo and for the fans to take home. Summit Embroidery Works on Highway 14 in Bingen. Let us put your logo to work for you.
Yes! I finally got my first phone!
It is exciting. Let's learn a few things about online safety first.
We can secure our world. When you choose your passwords, make them strong. Use a password manager to help you along. But don't just use a password alone. Get a call, get a text, or a code on your phone.
MFA really works!
You hesitate, do it ASAP.
Just like that.
Watch out for offers too good to be true.
What?
It's probably someone trying to take advantage of you.
Hey, that's fishy.
Let's report it. Install updates, make better passwords. Woo! Think before you click, use multiple factors. That's how we can secure our world.
Learn more at cisa.gov/secure-our-world.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 18, schedule any service and get 50% off a second service at Ben Bailey Carpet and Upholstery Steam Cleaners. And on page 51, buy one oil change, get one free at Gill's Point S Tire and Auto Service in Hood River or the Dalles.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at GorgeRadio.com.
Hello, Goodbyes.
Hello, Goodbyes.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back at 8:11 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined here in studio by from the Mid-Columbia Center for Living, Adult Behavioral Health Team Manager Fred Williams. Fred, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Get a little close to the microphone there.
Okay. There we go.
Make sure everybody can hear you here. And Fred, notes I was given, adult mental health, substance use treatment, and gambling prevention. That's what your department, I guess, is involved in, isn't it?
And the enhanced care services, too.
Enhanced care services.
Yeah, ECS.
So what is enhanced care services?
It's for people who have severe mental health and medical issues. So it's part of the Hood River Post Acute Center.
Okay, so that's involving people who have, a lot of problems they're trying to deal with.
Yeah, and they just need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I'd start with gambling prevention. The reason I say that is because the ways you can gamble in this country have exploded in the last few years.
They certainly have.
With the mobile device being a key part mm-hmm. of it all.
People can now bet on random events.
Yeah, on anything. Yeah. I mean, I saw a commercial where literally anything. What are you seeing out there? I assume we're seeing more people that are dealing with a problem with gambling.
We actually haven't been lately. We
really
would like to be, because we can see the problem is getting worse. So.
Is that an issue of people maybe not recognizing it within themselves when it's a problem?
I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, denial is a big part of the gambling problem, mm-hmm. and people think they're going to win it back.
Yeah. Now, of course, I understand that some people, like most people, probably can play with this a little bit, gambling. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the signs that people are having problems?
When they try to hide it from other people,
mm-hmm.
when they are spending money they can't afford to spend.
Sure.
Because they think, oh, for sure I'm going to win this time, and they mm-hmm. spend the rent money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the secrecy is a big sign.
Mm-hmm. I would assume, though, that friends and loved ones, you can think you're hiding it from someone.
Right.
I would assume that people notice, and they probably wonder what they should do.
Yeah, and they don't notice at first, maybe, or they're just not sure, but mm-hmm. then, yeah, it becomes obvious.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that we haven't seen that uptick yet?
No, curiously, we haven't. At least not locally.
Is this something we're still so fairly new into this right now? Also, I mean, it compared to like, you know, alcohol problems, we've had those for forever, unfortunately, but.
I'm not really sure why we haven't seen the uptick. We have at times had more people than we do now.
Okay, I would say we've seen upticks before.
Yes,
and
we have.
We leave the local area. I'm sure you look at trends, etc. Do we see upticks elsewhere?
I think yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, is dealing with gambling problems, is it like dealing with any addiction, or are there different issues with it?
There's a lot of commonality between different types of addictions.
Sure.
Gambling's a process addiction, and there are other process addictions out there.
Now, what does a process addiction mean?
You're addicted to an activity instead of a substance.
Okay, so instead of me being addicted to alcohol, I would be addicted to...
Right.
To betting on ball games or whatever I'm doing.
Video games, pornography, et cetera.
So I take it dealing with a process addiction is different than dealing with a substance use addiction.
It is a little different, yeah.
I mean, obviously it's not one of those things, you know, substance use addictions, you try to, you know, stop the people from taking
right.
the substance.
Right.
That seems straightforward, whereas on the process side, it's probably a little less straightforward.
Yeah, especially if something the addiction might have to do with something you need, like food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't just not eat.
True, yes. I hadn't quite included food in there, but you're right that there are food addictions. I get that. So when you're dealing with someone who said, hey, I've got this problem, the gambling problem, what do you, as those who are trying to help, what sort of steps do you take?
Well, first is help them realize there's a problem.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to be doing anything about it.
I guess I'll assume that because they are with you, either they've realized they've had a problem, or their family and loved ones realize they have a problem.
Yeah, and usually they have to get to the point of realizing there's a problem before they're going to come get help, unless there's some kind of coercion.
And I'll assume that usually... realizing there's a problem involves hitting rock bottom or close to.
Yeah.
Whatever that is defined as.
Right, and it's different for everyone.
So they realize they've got a problem. They've hit that stage of close or at rock bottom. Where do you go from there?
Well, a big part of their recovery is hope. They need to see that they can get better, that they can overcome it. Mm-hmm. So hope is an important component.
How do you reinstall hope? Because I mean they probably leave your office after a session, and I assume they still have that device there, right next to a guy. At this point, I assume most gambling addictions mobile devices are involved because that's how people gamble today.
Yeah,
and I imagine, well, I might just have it in my pocket. It's in my pocket. To someone with a problem like this, it's probably almost calling to them, isn't it?
It's on their mind.
It's on their mind. Is some of this involved in some way getting it out of their mind?
Yeah, distraction is helpful. Mm-hmm. Often we talk about replacement, a replacement activity to replace the gambling.
Yeah.
So the gambling or any other addiction is filling a void of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to fill that with something healthier.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that, you know, you mentioned process is different than substance use, and we're going to get to substance use here in a second. But is that something that's kind of across the board, whether it's process or substance treatments, to be able to try to replace something?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I think with smoking, I think of people who use nicotine patches. And they go through the steps of that.
Yeah.
That's a different deal.
Well, and people who smoke are used to putting their hand to their mouth, so often they gain weight because they're used to putting hand to mouth.
And they replace it, I assume, with food,
uh-huh.
And probably not carrots and celery, is my guess.
not usually.
Well, I'll move then to substance use here.
Okay.
What are we seeing out there right now in this area?
There's a lot of fentanyl. and I'm hearing heroin's making a comeback.
Old-fashioned heroin's making a comeback. I hate to put it that way, but that almost let's start with the fentanyl part first, because this is, I think, for a lot of people, when they hear that, the scary one, because death is so often associated with fentanyl at this point, and people also don't know they're getting it in some cases.
Yeah.
But what's with fentanyl, what is the addiction reality to it? How addictive is this substance?
Well, it's not as addictive as heroin or meth, but it is pretty addictive. People take these drugs because they're filling a void. I read an interview with someone who's an addict who said there are no happy addicts. We're all looking for something. The scary part about fentanyl now is they're mixing it with meth. Meth's an upper, fentanyl's a downer, so that way you can take more drugs because you're counteracting the two extremes.
Well, with fentanyl, why do people tell you why they start in these instances? You mentioned filling a void.
Filling a void, yeah. Being unhappy. Some people maybe don't know, like you alluded to, that it was in the substance.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, basically, we're dealing with something that has. I mean, and maybe it's just because it's right now the fentanyl is the drug scare of the day. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, I mean, heroin was the drug scare of the day at one point. Marijuana was the drug scare of the day at one point.
Yeah,
you start going through the list of them; they were all at one point the scare of the day. But with fentanyl, because we do know it is so dangerous, and it doesn't take much to hit a lethal dose. Does it add an urgency with treatment?
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also a kind of a scare that happens where somebody gets off the substance and then they relapse, and they think, well, this is how much I was taking before and it was okay. But because they haven't had it in a while, when they relapse, they take way too much for what they can tolerate then.
So how long We talk about this alcohol, and people develop a tolerance, which is why occasionally you hear stories of people with unbelievable blood alcohol content levels, yet able to drive a car before they get arrested.
Yeah.
And you're wondering how they got the keys in the car. With that, how long does the body, I assume then, from what you said, it goes back kind of to a normal state when they...
Yeah.
Get off the drug. How long does that take? Does it depend on the person?
Varies by person. It varies by substance. Mm-hmm. Some things reset rather quickly. Some not so much.
Some not so much. Getting people off of fentanyl, what's the success rate on it?
Oh, gosh.
Do we know?
I don't have that
as a general idea how successful it is.
I think we're pretty successful with it, especially for somebody who's motivated.
Is this one of those where they're never, quote, fully off of it? It's always kind of in the back of the mind, if you will.
I don't know if that's the case for everyone. I think it is for some people. Mm-hmm. I do advise people to move as far away from that edge as they can and never test it again.
Well, yeah, I assume so. That would seem to be the right thing to do.
Yeah.
With alcohol, I'm going to go there because that's kind of another deal. I almost feel like we talk about the drug part so much.
Yeah. Well, alcohol is a drug.
Well, and it is. But is alcohol really the one of choice still?
Well, it's easy to access.
Sure.
It's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we saw when with marijuana becoming legal, we had an uptick in people with problems with marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the alcohol, those who are having alcohol problems, is it usually limited to alcohol, or are we finding now that that used to be called a gateway drug?
Right.
I remember that term from school.
Yeah.
And does alcohol tend to come with something else anymore?
It can, yeah. It can lead to other things.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking for a little bit more of a buzz.
Mm-hmm. When, I mean, it's just, you know, you see upticks from time to time. What conditions are there that tend to lead to upticks? I mean, we saw COVID was a concern, of course, at that time. People were kind of trapped in their homes, and it was impacting people in different ways.
Right.
When do we see those upticks?
Access, when things become legal, they become socially acceptable. So we see a lot more of it when it's portrayed in the media, you know, in movies and things.
You know, we talked about it was gambling, that it tended to be people didn't really seek help until somebody in the family kind of noticed. With substances, is that necessarily the case? Or is there a little more of people realizing, I've got a problem here?
I think it's pretty parallel.
Parallel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, with these substances, of course, we have the added part of, except for alcohol and marijuana, of course, we have the added part of many of these substances are illegal to begin with.
Right. But then we took away the penalties.
Well, yeah, and that's another debate. That, but I was wondering, though, how often does the treatment come after, is the one of the rock bottom points, I assume, is they get into some sort of legal law enforcement issue and they end up in jail or in some manner incarcerated.
And that's often a motivator.
And
that's why I didn't like when we took away the penalties, because it took away the incentive for a lot of people.
That's interesting, because, you know, we've seen some of the penalties come back now.
Yeah.
To talk to somebody who's actually in this business, how important are those penalties? This is kind of the carrot and the stick thing to an extent.
I would say the majority of the people we treat for substance issues are legally mandated to get treatment. So it's a big part of it.
Yeah. Now, probably should point out, it's not necessarily that not everybody who's got an issue goes to Mid-Columbia Center for a living. And in fact, part of the business of that organization is, that Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties have, is it tends to lean toward those people who are in need of help. Not necessarily on their own.
Yeah, we have a close association with the courts.
And so you've got a lot of things the compelled, usually this is where they end up going.
Yeah.
Is Mid-Columbia Center for Living. We didn't touch on the mental health part of this much. We're just running out of time here. But with gambling, but mental health, I've always assumed that if involving gambling and substance use, there is always a mental health component. I would assume that's the case, but I may be wrong.
No, you're on the right track. There's often one or more things going on. Sometimes someone's depressed, so they use a substance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is the problem?
Right.
Is it the depression or the substance?
I say, when you're as professionals, you're obviously trying to deal with both.
Right.
And often, how do you find where quote the cause and effect is? I mean, is it because I could see where someone starts using substances because they're partying and having a good time, and it becomes a mental health problem. I can see the other way where the void filling part comes in. I mean, how do you try to walk through that process?
We don't necessarily try and figure it out at first. We just treat both.
Mm-hmm.
And then during treatment, it usually comes out. We usually figure out what's going on. What's the primary motivator?
So I would think then, like, I'll take fentanyl as an example, because that is so dangerous.
I hope you don't.
No. I'm sorry. I'm going to use it as an example, not take it personally. I'm closing on 60 years old. I'm not going to start anything. That will do great harm, and you'll never have a chance to fix it. But the point being, I would assume with fentanyl, the first priority is we've got to get this stopped.
Sure.
Where maybe if it's, yes, you want to stop with alcohol and turn it down, but also with alcohol, maybe there's a feeling of at times we can deal with that mental health issue a little more.
And depending on the severity of the alcohol, you wouldn't necessarily stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually kill somebody stopping them suddenly.
The old cold turkey thing.
Yeah.
Really? So
people can, people who are really addicted to alcohol and using high quantities can't just stop. They have to go through a medical detox.
Yeah. So I would imagine those are the folks who I'd kind of describe there as, you know, I've got, every year we get a story or two of somebody, you know, from somewhere, they blew 0.4 something and they were in a car. Right. And you're always going, how did they get there?
And they were alert.
And they were actually alert. I imagine those are the people where you can't just...
High tolerance.
You can't hide the booze. You've got to let them come off it gradually.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of hard to picture, to be honest.
Yeah.
With that. So, Fred Williams, Mid-Columbia Center for a Living. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will be back, bottom of the hour. Take a look at the news. Andrea Claus with us in a bit right after this.
So my friends over at Pure Talk have been sending me customer feedback from consumeraffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, "After hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk, and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today!" Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words "switch today" in capital letters with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is this Saturday, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:31 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Andrea Claus from the Port of the Dalles will join us here in a couple moments. But first, for the first time in years, Oregon lawmakers in Salem's newly reopened Capitol streamed out of the chamber floors into the rotunda to cap the end of a short legislative session that had both Republicans and Democrats claiming victories. Responding to the federal government's aggressive deportation campaign, safeguarding access to and funding for reproductive and gender-affirming care, and filling a budget hole caused by federal tax and spending changes topped the Democratic majority's agenda this year. Republicans, meanwhile, touted their success in gutting a wide-ranging gun bill and delaying, though not blocking, a bill to reschedule a statewide vote on transportation taxes. The Oregon legislature passed a bill aimed at relaxing farm stand regulations. The measure, House Bill 4153, which replaces existing regulations on farm stands with new regulations for farm stores, now heads to Governor Tina Kotek's desk for her final signature. Under the new regulations, farm stores up to 10,000 square feet are allowed to operate as long as they sell products produced by the farm itself or in the local agricultural area, including food and beverages intended for immediate consumption. The bill also specifies several agritourism activities allowed on Oregon farms, including petting zoos, crop mazes, and farm table dinners. Lodging is specifically excluded from those activities. Tax breaks for data centers could soon be stripped from Washington state law. Over the weekend, the House Finance Committee voted 8-6 to approve Senate Bill 6231. The bill next awaits a House floor vote. As it stands, data center operators in most Washington counties do not pay the 6.5% sales tax on server equipment. That equipment is typically replaced every 3 to 5 years, and current law exempts sales tax on purchasing new or replacing old server equipment. It also does not apply sales tax to labor hired to install the equipment. The proposal would eliminate a portion of those tax exemptions, the break for replacing or refurbishing older server equipment. It would leave in place the exemption for purchasing new equipment. A federal judge in Oregon limited federal officers' use of tear gas during protests at a Portland federal immigration building as part of a lawsuit filed by an adjacent affordable housing complex following months of repeated exposure. U.S. District Judge Amy Baggio issued the preliminary injunction after a hearing last month in which the complex's residents described physical and physiological or psychological symptoms ranging from difficulty breathing, coughing, burning eyes and hives to anxiety and panic attacks. Some also testified about wearing gas masks in their own homes. It is 8:34 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. You know those tall Sprinter vans that look like they could secretly double as apartments? Yeah, we work on those, and we know them really well. Whether it's your adventure rig, work van, or mystery mobile full of camping gear and snacks from 2022, we've got you covered. We're now just 10 minutes up the hill in our great new location in Hood River. Come see us! From Mercedes and Ford, big rigs to Sprinters, no jobs too big or small. At Del Carpine, we work on them all.
Family owned and locally trusted.
I am Imelda Padilla. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, and a proud member of this community. Being part of Skyline Health, both on the hospital and the foundation board, allows me to support the healthcare that this community needs to keep us strong. That's why I am committed to supporting Skyline, not just as a patient, but as a board member. This hospital makes our community stronger and healthier every day. I am Skyline.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is this Saturday, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Partly sunny skies today with a chance of rain showers throughout the day as well. High temperatures in the mid-40s and the west wind up to 15 miles per hour.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're back. It is 8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles Executive Director. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, you're heading to D.C. here pretty soon.
I am.
It is the usual trip to a... Boy, every time you go there now, I would say, boy, it's an interesting time to go. Now it's really interesting.
It's funny because as I was driving up here thinking about what we're going to talk about, and I was having that same reflection. You know, sometimes the budget's in chaos, and sometimes, you know, there haven't been the appointments that have been made so that the departments can actually move ahead. And this is going to be yet another interesting time to be in D.C.
So what's the emphasis going to be this time?
Yeah. So, you know, when we go back, and this is, you know, we've been going back now for probably, I say 25 years, maybe every time I'm on here. So I probably should actually do the math.
You've been going back for a long time. Yes.
We've been going back for a long time. And we, you know, for many years, we went back and we were looking for that last dollar to complete local projects. Mm-hmm. But more recently, our emphasis has really been on policy issues, or if we know that there's somebody's applied for funding, just trying to support their funding requests. Mm-hmm. This time it's policy.
Yeah.
And, but also, you know, follow up on a couple things, you know, so we did receive a grant and the contracts were signed in December of last year, excuse me. And when the new administration came in, that was one of the grant funding packages that went away. It was about $20 million for childcare facility. So we're going, you know, we've gone back now. This will be the second time since that money was swept, and really trying to see, like, what can we do? Is that money still there? How could we move that forward? You know, maybe a little bit of good news about that project is that not all the money was swept. So there is some work happening there, but it was such a big project for the community.
If I remember right on this, and I may not be completely remembering correctly, but if I remember right, part of the issue was, at least from the side of the folks in D.C., in the administration, a lot of the money wasn't necessarily from education, but was in green energy. And that's been taking hits left and right the last close to 2 years now. And that's what maybe killed this project early. I mean, killed the funding for
it. The funding for it, yeah. So, you know, that was part of it. And then the other part is that, you know, again, in the previous administration, there was a really strong focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this particular pot of money, that was a very, very strong emphasis. And so also, I think because of that, that money got swept. So anyway, you know, we're going to go back. You know, and one of the things that we do, Mark, when we're back there is that we're meeting with the legislators. And, you know, it's nice to meet with them, but the power really lies in meeting with the staffers. You know, those are the people that are doing the work. And so going back and telling the compelling stories about why this is important to our community and why we need the money. And now where can we look for that money? And maybe we're not going to get one big chunk like we received initially or we were supposed to receive. But maybe there's, you know, a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there. And so that, you know, those discussions are really, again, sort of the power of these trips.
So, well, one of the discussions being when we get to staffers, I'm thinking heading toward, you know, the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area part of this, is with the latest, the affordable, or not affordable, but the land supply.
Buildable land inventory.
Whatever they call it. It's a wonderfully bureaucratic title. But the bottom line being, they've now got the City of the Dalles, the latest numbers they approved.
Yes.
About the lack of buildable industrial lands in all categories within the city limits of the Dalles. And they are probably planning to continue the battle, which I'm sure they are, to try to get an expansion of the urban growth boundary in the city of the Dalles. And, of course, that's got to go through the scenic area. And those processes, which eventually become, in some cases, congressional in nature. Is that going to be a topic this time?
You know, I am unsure. You know, one of the things that we've, you know, sort of been talking about really is, like, what is that best approach? You know, so, you know, the Port of the Dalles, our primary focus is developing industrial land to bring traded sector business to the region, to, you know, to our district. And we now have about 15 acres of available land. None of it is bigger than about 3 acres. You could put two parcels together to end up with 3 acres. And when we look at the requests coming to Oregon, both for Oregon businesses looking to expand, as well as other businesses from nationally or even internationally looking to come to Oregon to expand, we're not competitive. You know, those at the smallest are probably looking for 10 acres, which is really not a very big site for any kind of, you know, industrial expansion. So, you know, we have been a really strong partner with the city and with Wasco County in trying to figure out how do we solve this problem. We've worked at doing infill and trying to make the best use of what we already have. But yeah, it's, you know, again, talking with the staffers, you know, I guess we're circling back to your point is, you know, what is the best approach to try to make this happen? You know, if you think about the communities in the Gorge, the urban areas, none of them have expanded since 1986, which is when the scenic area was implemented. And then you look at the rest of the state of Oregon urban areas, and there's been a lot of expansion. And so how do we really balance that need for growth with the, you know, the other side of the Scenic Act, which is to really preserve the areas around the scenic areas? So
you mentioned 10 or more acres. Is that, and this is getting away from necessarily the inventory point of view on paper to the reality on the ground point of view. Is that where the most acute need is in that 10, maybe to 20 to 30 acre area?
Yeah, and it is. And it really needs to be kind of a square. It can't be a linear 10 acres, as you can imagine in your head. You know, a long, skinny rectangle is not going to work.
You know, you need room to build something.
It really needs to be a block of land, you know, for them to build, for people to build. You know, and Mark, one of the things, and I know I've talked about this over the years, but, you know, one of the things that I worry about is that We have some really great industries in Wasco County, the Dalles, the Gorge region, both Oregon and Washington. We are a bi-state economy, so people are living on one side of the river and working on the other. And if these businesses that are here today don't have room to grow, what do they do? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to say, oh, we're not going to grow because we can't stay in the Gorge. They're going to look for their the most cost-effective place to go to.
I'm just interested to know, because Dallas-Port's always been the area we've talked about, which is not in the Port of the Dalles, obviously, because it's in Washington.
Right.
But there's always been kind of this feeling of, if, you know, if something's getting built here in the Gorge, it's good for everybody.
Yes.
Is Dallas-Port the eventual solution?
That is a great question. You know, over the years, you know, the challenge with Dallas-Port has been the infrastructure in, you know, it's been the water and the sewer. But it is a large area of, you know, relatively undeveloped land over there. And, you know, as with everything, Mark, you know, in the Gorge, everything's kind of complicated. So I don't know what the, so Dallas-Port, it's private ownership. There's some land, I think, that's owned by the Port of Klickitat, which is the port that's over there. And I just, today, I just don't know, you know, sort of what their interest is in doing something like that.
Yeah, I would think, even if we talk about the UGB boundary, to get what you have alluded to there, the 10-acre squares, if you will, I don't know if in on the Oregon side where you do that. And that's just even taking away the UGB issue with the scenic area. I don't know where you go.
Yep.
At this point. I mean, I certainly like the Hood River area. I can't think of how in the world you'd get to there.
Yeah, because, you know, certainly one of the things you have to take into account, especially with the, on the business side of property, is that it needs to be relatively level.
Yeah.
You know, housing can go anywhere. You know, you think about the development that you see on the hills, you know, through the Gorge, but really, you know, around the world. But business really needs to be on a level site.
Well, that's why it's called the Gorge, by the way.
That is why it's called the Gorge.
That is why. Yeah, there is because of that. But also, there, you know, you mentioned the housing part. Usually the houses that get built like that, you know, on slopes also tend to be high-end housing in a lot of ways.
Yes.
That's another issue we have here is on the – do you try to discuss – because we've talked with housing folks a lot about, you know – at least I have. This has become more my thing. The middle housing part of the equation, which is not necessarily where you find government help, to be honest. But the middle house part of the equation, to me, is the biggest problem we have. You know, more so than the lower income, because you always have a low income problem with housing. I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just trying to be realistic from an economic standpoint. Do you get into that issue much on trips like this? Where how can we get to more... developable areas to put middle housing into?
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of basic economics, I suppose, that if you have, when land becomes a scarce resource, the value of that land increases.
That's the Econ 101.
Econ 101. My, and, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, Mark, but, you know, my thought is that if we have additional land for housing and kind of, that type of building that we need to have going on, that price should come down because now we have additional land. So you know, instead of having 10 acres, you know, have 100 acres. And so that value should be.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not quite sure. I've seen evidence of that yet in this area. You'd like to think so, but.
Yeah, you know, I every once in a while I take a wander through our old historic files and. I found an old, I'm going to say old report. It was from the 1940s, but it was a city strategy report from the 1940s.
It's the Dalles.
In the Dalles. And you know what the top issue was in 1940?
Housing.
Housing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they found that in Hood River dating back to the 20s and 30s. So it you know, not necessarily the same issue per se, but it's always been an issue.
Yep. You know, and the other thing, Mark, you know, thinking about housing, you know, and we talked a little bit about industrial development, you're talking about the buildable lands inventory, is that all of these things work together, but they also work with, you know, sort of other aspects of our community. And so, if, you know, you think of like education and you think of roads and you think of infrastructure, you know, all these pieces have to come together in order for it to be successful, because you can't have a large business come to your community if you don't have the workforce and you don't have the housing and you don't have the infrastructure. And so it really is a long range planning, I guess, planning goal to kind of bring all these pieces together. You know, I think, again, you know, back to the Port of the Dalles when they first started redeveloping the land again in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And people are like, wow, how come we don't have business here today? It's like, well, it's going to take time.
Sure.
And it doesn't just take time to attract the business and help them grow, but you have to have all of this other foundational pieces in place.
So that's the Dalles Community Outreach team heading out to D.C.
Yep.
One more thing we need to get to here in the last 3 or 4 minutes, and that is at the Port of the Dalles, Facility Condition Assessment Report Agreement. Speaking of bureaucratic titles, there you go.
I know, I didn't even come up with that one, actually.
So what did I just say?
Yeah, so this is a project that we've been talking about for a couple months at, you know, the Port Commission's been talking about. We had a fire in the marina, and we had a second fire in the marina. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're trying to decide is what is the best way to rebuild in the marina. Mm-hmm. And we started kind of heading down a path, and then we had a contractor who was down there doing some work, and they said, wow, you probably need to do a condition assessment, get a condition assessment report of the existing structures that are there.
Yeah.
So it's looking at the docks that are there, it's looking at the pilings that are there, it's looking at the really all of the infrastructure components. Electric, that project was just upgraded a couple years ago, so not really worried about that. But really looking at all those other pieces in the marina, because like with many projects, you know, you think about if you're, you want to redo your house and you decide to redo the kitchen, and then all of a sudden find out the foundation can't, you know, accommodate what you want to redo in the kitchen. So this is really doing taking a look at the integrity, the structural integrity, the life predicted lifespan of what's down there, so we can again using as a planning tool to look ahead, you know, the next 1, 2, 5, 10 years to see how do we want to invest money down there for the best outcome.
That's interesting. I think, like, I've never thought about lifespan of a marina.
Yeah, it's the docks. You know, the docks have a lifespan, and the pilings have a lifespan. You know, you think about things in the river; they get a lot of wear and tear, especially in our river, because the river water level fluctuates so much. Mm-hmm. Baking in the sun, you know, just get a lot of use.
And then also just what's in the water and what will
what's in the water, and also the construction method. You know, these docks are probably, I don't know, 20, 25 years old, maybe older, 30 years old. Construction methods have changed. So
when are you expecting to get the report?
Yeah, so we're waiting to get the schedule from the company that's doing the work. They have divers that will be diving, and so it's kind of this big coordination. Yeah. But once they start, we should have the report in 30 to 60 days.
Do you have to wait for the in-water work window for this, or is this because you're really just looking, you're not trying
We're just looking, we're not building.
So you're okay.
We're good to go.
Whenever you get the divers there, it sounds like.
Yep.
Which I imagine they're not like just a phone call away and they're the next day.
No, and you know, the weather's been so mild this whole winter. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a perfect time to do it. And now we're in like a winter storm warning. It's like they probably want to come out on Friday. I don't know.
Of course. Even the dead side, the winter storm warning is that winter stormy, to be honest. But
it does not sound like it down here.
But we need some of the mountains. We need stuff up there.
We need a lot of stuff up
desperately,
there.
Desperately. And I'm not sure we can't make it up at this point. There's no way. But Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Mark.
8:52. We'll come back, wrap things up after this.
I'm U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. We all seem to be in a rush these days, from work to driving our kids around. But when you're behind the wheel, please, do not speed. A few minutes saved by going faster is never worth the risk. So follow the speed limit, enjoy the drive, maybe bring some snacks for the kids, and know that along the way, you're getting quality time with your family.
Paid for by NHTSA.
It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you.
Now taxes is so free.
TurboTax,
tradition
only, roughly
37%.
that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guest is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning tomorrow on this program. I'm not sure we're going to do first half. I've got word Hood River County, you folks, can't join us tomorrow. But we'll talk Wasco County tomorrow. I think it's Scott Hagee, County Commissioner, will be with us in the show tomorrow morning, and we'll talk about what they've got going on. May talk a little bit. Well, we got a couple things we can get to. Mid-Columbia Community Action will be with us Wednesday. Plus, we'll talk Hood River County Health Department. Thursday, Matt Warbritton, NRCS Oregon Snow Survey. We'll see what this latest patch of storm will do, if anything. And we'll talk Skyline Hospital Thursday as well. Friday, we talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. Don't forget, countdown's on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. Over $177,000 in good services and gift certificates from local Gorge businesses. And you can save money on all of it. Go to GorgeRadio.com. The full list of what's available is there. I mean, there's all sorts of great opportunities. Care, smiles, and skin. Everything from anti-snore treatment on to laser hair removal to teeth whitening, all sorts of opportunities there. Doug's, there's plenty of winter sports gear available for if you're thinking ahead toward next year or hoping the spring is going to bring you maybe a little better stuff than you see in the wintertime. That's available as well. Hey, dog, hey, you've got kennel stays and nail trims and dog baths. Those can be spending. Hood River Hobbies, all sorts of stuff from Dungeons and Dragons to goat guns, which I'm not really familiar with. A couple model rockets are available. Actually, more than a couple. So anyway, go to GorgeRadio.com. You can get the complete list of what is available there. And also, we should remind you that one of the ways you can get your bid in quicker and get in ahead of the guy before called right with you is to get your bidder number. Call 541-296-2211 before 5 o'clock Friday afternoon and register for a VIP bidder number. Now, a VIP number is not required, but it will make it quicker and easier to place your bid. The difference is if you have a bidder number, you say, I'm bidder number, whatever the number is. They write it down with your bid, and they take it up to the auctioneer. Whereas if you don't have a number, they take your name, your phone number, and your information, and then the bid, and then they take it up to the auctioneer. So it's a lot quicker to do the bidder number. So get your bidder number if you don't already have one. 541-296-2211. And again, Saturday morning, beginning at 8, the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. Going on in the area, don't forget the Columbia Gorge Master Gardeners Association Garden and Gathering Workshop Series. Wild and Wonderful Native Plants, tomorrow evening, 6 to 7:30, Hood River Library. They'll do it again Saturday morning, 10 to 11:30 at the Hood River County Extension Center. Mid-Columbia Innovation Hub, they've got their March Hub Talk coming up Thursday evening. The subject is A Seat at the Table, Women Shaping the Gorge Economy. That'll be Thursday at the Ruins of Hood River. Doors are going to open at 5:30 there on Thursday evening for that event. Also, at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center Friday, Cosmic Frequencies, an evening of music, science, and gravity, a laser interferometer gravitational wave observatory lecture. They're located up in Washington, that organization. And it's a free admission. They'll have some local wine and beer there beginning at 6, along with music by Tunnel Number 3. The lecture will begin at 7. So if you are interested in that, you are certainly cordially invited to attend. Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. Have to think about that when you say it. I'm done. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Tuesday.
Today's show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
98.3 FM.